Well, good morning. I'm trying to get this thing on my, I have no belt, so I got to get it under my pants. When Pastor Nate first asked me to give the concluding message to the home run series, I was thinking to myself, I was like, oh, baseball, this is so awesome. I can have some like great illustrations, and I'm a big baseball fan if you don't know me, and I'm also a big Chicago Cubs fan, so I was thinking, you know, I was going to show some illustration of some Cubs highlight video and cheer on my Cubs one last time this year, and God was going to give me some great illustration on what it means to live a home run life. And the thing is even though that was my, oh, don't worry, I'm going to show a Cubs highlight video still, but even though that was my intention, God sort of showed me something through reading the Home Run Life book and reading the scriptures that back up what was said in that book. And the more I thought about this and the more God was speaking to me, I was sort of convicted in a way. But I kept, it was in a good way. I mean, I had every intention, as I said, to show this video. But I asked God, is this, God, how you want us to live our lives? Is this what it means to have a home run life? I mean, hitting a home run, for instance, in baseball is the pinnacle of any player in a game, in a baseball game. It changes the score quickly. Fans cheer. Teammates congratulate the one who hit the blast. And sometimes in baseball, legends are made by the home run, like Babe Ruth. I kept asking God, God, is this the kind of life you want for your people? It seems like everyone involved in a home run is so happy. You know, and our culture even expects home runs for us in life. Get to the highest point in your career to be considered successful. Win the best mom award or the best dad award. Do everything you can for your children so people can look on you and say, what a great dad he is, or what a great mom she is. Get those A's in school. Get straight A's so you can make the honor roll. You know, as Pastor Nate explained over the last few weeks, especially last week when he talked about results, these are all good things, and they're good things to expect for us to achieve. If we're running the bases, as we talked about, or Nate talked about over the last few weeks, if we work on first base and second base, first base, if you remember, is working within, God working within us to build up our character so we can win within, and second base is to win with community and with others. And then third base, we start seeing results of that life of work, of walking with God the right way, running the bases the correct way. We should start seeing a lot of these results in our lives. But I ask us today, when we're standing on third base and looking back at all those results that God has done through us, have we really scored a run? You know, standing on third base in baseball doesn't mean you scored at all. And a home run in baseball doesn't always mean you won the game. As a Cubs fan, I know this all too well. They hit a lot of home runs in the playoffs, more than any other team. But they got swept by the Mets. You know, sure, the score changes quickly, but in life, the score can change quickly as well. Now, with all that said, I do want to show you a Cubs highlight video. This is a highlight from the Cubs playoff series against their arch rival, St. Louis Cardinals. Now, rookie Kyle Schwarber came up to bat. And as you watch, I want you to first notice how far the baseball was hit. Yeah, I'm bragging on Schwarber a little bit. You'll most likely lose track of where the ball went. It went so high that the fans couldn't even see it. The announcers didn't even know where it went. They were in awe of how far Schwarber hit this ball. So go ahead and show the video.
And Schwarber sends one high and deep, way back. And this ball is long gone.
Mercy.
What in the world?
Over the...
Oh, you're going to show it again. We could watch this all day. I love it. I get so pumped watching that. I love the Cubs. I love watching that highlight. I could watch highlight videos of Cubs day after day. The ball actually landed on top of the new scoreboard. The official distance was 438 feet. But it wasn't just the distance. It was how high the ball traveled to get there. You know, a lot of times a player can hit a ball 438 feet in a line drive. That ball went, they couldn't even see where it went. But it ended up landing on top of the scoreboard. The Cubs ownership was so pumped about this as well that they enshrined the baseball and encased it in a plexiglass case on top of the scoreboard. Cubs fans have to find things to celebrate, you know. So this, as you can see, when I wanted to show these highlight videos, and God still allowed me to show it, but only for this reason. Because what are we doing here? Glory to Kyle Schwarber. And he's only a rookie. But what did Kyle Schwarber actually do? He only did what he was expected to do, which was win the game, help win the game for his team. Can you understand now why God was convicting me when I wanted to show this video? I was thinking a home run life is about, wow, look what we can do. But see, it doesn't work that way with God. It's not the purpose God has in mind for our lives. Scoring a run in life is about shining God's glory through us so others around us can see Him and only Him. It isn't even about what we did. Let me read from what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church. This comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed in His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. You see, as Christians, it is doing what God already expects us to be doing. And as I said, it isn't about us. It isn't about what we have done. It's about shining God's glory for what He is doing through us so others can see Jesus Christ. What Paul is reminding the church here, he was actually referring back, the Jews at this time would completely understand where Paul was going with this because it was from the Old Testament. When he talks about the veil, to take off the veil, the Jews would have been reminded of back in the Old Testament when Moses came down from the mountain after he met with God. And this is the point where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And the glory of God was shining on Moses, so much so that his face was shining. And the people in those days could not handle the glory that was coming off of Moses' face. So Moses put a veil over his face. And what Paul is saying here right now to the church is, it's time to take that veil off. Jesus Christ allows us, gives us the privilege to take the veil off of our face, to let it shine so everyone can see Him through you. Everything that you have done up to this point was for God and through Jesus Christ. And now you're standing on third base, and you want to score. Scoring is giving that glory, allowing that glory to shine through the one who deserves the glory. And it isn't me, and it isn't you. It's Jesus. And we are to give Him praise and only praise him. Tell others when they see that light shining off of you. Tell others where it came from, who it is. Let me just try to explain. I'm going to go back to baseball for a minute. And this go back to our own achievements that we think that we do so great. You see, in baseball, the maximum distance in a baseball field is about, depending on what park you're in, 400 to 420 feet at the furthest distance, usually in center field, at their deepest point. Now, what if the walls were moved back just 100 feet more? Now, the wall at Wrigley Field in right field where Schwarber hit that great home run, if it was moved back another 100 feet, it would never have went out. It would have just been a nice, long out. Just 100 feet. Now, if you're a football fan, now I know there's some Packer fans, but I know there's at least one here. We have some Packer fans here in our congregation. And Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback, right? If you know football, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. He has beaten my team so many times, it's disgusting. He can consistently drive his team down the field of a 100-yard field and throw that ball into his receiver's hands in the end zone on a pretty consistent basis, which makes him a great quarterback. But what if the football field was expanded just 50 yards? Now, I know you Packer fans are going to say he'd still score. But, and I agree, he probably would score. He'd probably still be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But I can tell you he wouldn't score as often because the defenses are pretty good too. Give a defense 50 more yards to work with and they're going to slow Aaron Rodgers down. You see, just 50 yards can make a difference. Now think about God, the creator of the universe. Do you think it impresses God that a man can hit a baseball 438 feet, 450 feet, even 500 feet? You know, it impresses us. It impresses the world. But God, it doesn't impress God. See, God can hit a baseball to the moon. He can hit a baseball wherever he wants it to go. The abilities that man has all comes from God anyway. You see, in life, the goalposts are always moving on us anyway. The walls in baseball, or in life, I should say, are always moving back on us. People are always chasing after the home run in life. And sadly, they don't even realize that the goalposts and the walls are moving on them. This is why, even in our own accomplishments, it doesn't bring true joy in our lives. You know, it may be temporary happiness, but it's not a lasting joy. Many don't even realize it, but they're only standing on third base. There are even billionaires out there who the world thinks, wow, they sure are hitting home runs in life. But the reality is they haven't even scored yet, many of them. When we truly understand how God leads us to score in life, it doesn't really matter at this point how far the walls are to hit a home run, or how long it is to the end zone. To God, 100 feet or 50 yards more is really nothing. It is really nothing for a Christian who truly understands where the power in their life comes from. So, how do we score? How do we really score in our journey with God? You know, we need to ask ourselves before we can ever expect to cross home plate and score in life. The question we need to ask is, who are we really serving? Ourselves or God? Let me put it this way. Are we trying to impress others with what we did, even while saying we're doing it all for God? You know, Christians can be this way a lot. We will say outwardly that we do it all for God and then look to see who notices it, all while proclaiming his name. We're just taking the glory on ourselves, or at least we're trying to. You know, we said it begins all at home plate, connecting with God through Jesus Christ. And when we move on to first base, God starts working on our character so we can start winning within. We go to second base again, and he works to help us win relationships with others. We should start seeing results. And the world may think when we're standing on third that we won in life. You know, we may have this awesome family. My family's here today, and I'm so thankful for that. I love my family. And I do think I have an awesome family. I have a pretty good career. The world may see that others love us because we love others. We may even have extra money to give to the poor. And the world may look on you and say, there is something different about that person. How great is that person? But you see, we're not great. God is great. When we're standing there on third base, it is God. He is great. So, and if we aren't careful, we can find ourselves looking at all the accomplishments and miss out on God's ultimate purpose for our lives. And if we miss this, we can find ourselves back to being empty inside, wondering if it was all worth it, even while standing on third. And sadly, some people will even fall away from Jesus because of this, all because their focus is still in the wrong place, even with the results all around them. No one scores standing on third. And I have to admit, I found myself here. Even while I've given many sermons over the years, not that I'm trying to bring glory on myself, but I tend to forget. You know, I'll ask God to speak through me so other people can hear what he has to say through me. And it's really easy to fall and wonder, and how well of a sermon did I give? Or if I go to work on my job, how great of a job did I do? Did God, did I do this good? But see, did I? God's looking for us to put that glory out to him. The reason why many Christians are still confused on who are they going to serve is they really haven't made up their minds yet on who they're actually serving, themselves or God. The Bible calls this double-mindedness in a Christian. The book of James says that many of our prayers for material wants, for life's desires, go unfulfilled because we want God to serve us instead of wanting to serve God. Now, I know some of you may be sitting here saying, well, wait a second, Mike. Didn't Pastor Nate say that when we win at first and second base, we should start seeing those results? Isn't that the goal? But ask yourself, is it a goal in baseball to get to third or home? We may see results even while standing on third. We may even say, look back and say to God, look what I have done for you, God. Look at all that I have accomplished for you, God. I faithfully followed you. I've overcome a particular sin in my life. Some may even say I've been sanctified. Look at these results. Now, God, my prayer is give me happiness. Give me joy. Give me a better job. Help my family. I deserve it now. I'm following you. And the danger is, as we look back on the world instead of God, it isn't that God won't give us these things, but maybe he will. Or maybe he won't. The question we need to be asking God at this point is, what now, God? Where do you want me to go next? Man, if followers can really start asking God questions in this way, even while seeing all the great things that he's doing through their lives, God starts bringing forward even more situations and people in your life so you can start making some home run decisions. God wants to bring it all home, where God's purpose for your life is found, where true joy is obtained. Decisions that you never would have imagined making when you first started your journey with God. These decisions could have been made by having a shortcut straight to third, but as Pastor Nate said the first week, you would have failed eventually anyway. But these are the kind of decisions that can be scary. They would have been scary if you were standing on first or second, and they're still scary a little bit on third, but now you have the confidence when you're standing on third to say, okay, what next? Where do you want me to go now? You see, this is the book. I would recommend everyone to read this book. This is the book that Nate's been taking us through, the Home Run series by Kevin Myers and John Maxwell. And one thing that really spoke to me through all of this was, you know, since I became a Christian and following Christ, I've been trying to go the right way, working on my character. God's working through my character so I can win within, winning with others, loving people the way he wants me to love people. And for so long, I've been finding myself standing on third and looking back and wondering, what's next? You know, look all this stuff, God. You allow me to preach on Sunday mornings. I go, you know, do these things, and what's it all about? You've helped me overcome some sin in my life. But you see, I was still, even though I'm asking God what's next for me or why I have overcome or even thanking him for helping me overcome a certain sin in my life or whatever it may be, I really started getting convicted by reading this book, especially when it drove me to the scriptures, because the focus was still on me. And this is where we really need to grab hold of, is when we're standing there on third base. Let me give you an example from the pastor of 12 Stone Church, Kevin Myers. He is standing on third base. His church, 12 Stone, was expanding, and they needed to find a new facility to expand into. So he found this empty grocery store, this abandoned grocery store, and he prayed to God, God, is this a place where you want a church in this community? And he felt like God was saying yes. So every day, Kevin would go to this parking lot and pray every morning for God to help raise the funds to buy this church property. He went to the board and asked the church board, to help them raise the money. And they raised, the church board agreed, and they started asking the church members to donate money to this. And as I said, as he keeps praying for the money to be raised, one day the church board came to him and said, okay, well, I think we have enough money. So he drove down to the church parking lot and sat out there to give thanks and praise to God for raising the money to get this property. And to his surprise, he saw that there was a for sale or a sold sign on the property. And couldn't believe it. And he looked up to see who bought the property, and it was another church in the area that bought it. And so he asked God in that parking lot, God, you told me that we would have this property, that there would be a church here, that we would expand into this facility. And you see, you probably already know the answer God gave back to Kevin. But Kevin, there is a church going to be here that's going to impact the community. It's just not the way you thought it. See, Kevin knew that it's God's church. 12 Stone is God's church, not Kevin's church. But then the next thing that God told Kevin while he was praying shook Kevin to the core. And God said, give all that money that you raised through your church and give it to this other church. And so Kevin went to his church board and faithfully asked the church board what God was speaking to him. And thankfully the church board agreed and they gave the money to the church. But then God asked Kevin to do another thing. That money that you were going to write, that check you were going to write to your church for expansion, give that to the church too, this other church. So Kevin went to his wife and asked his wife, said, I need to give this money to this other church, and this is how much I'm going to write the check for. And his wife said, well, that's funny, because God has been speaking to me about the same thing, but he was asking me to give quadruple the amount. See, home run decision times. God's going to challenge us with these kind of things, because it's all for him anyways. It's his church. It's actually your life is his life. He's given us the honor to share in that glory. It's not that we're even sharing. It's more so that he's shining that light through us so he gets all the glory. The creator of the universe wants to shine his light through you. And how great is that? In 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, Paul says this to the Corinthian church, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. When we make it home, God gets the glory, where the light of Christ is shined so everyone else can see it. We are no longer living for the world. We are living for Christ's glory for all to see. Now, let's be honest. I can tell you, when you read these words, you might be asking yourself, I know I was, is there anything for in this life for me now, Lord? Or does God, is it all the glory for you? I mean, it sounds selfish, but let's face it. Let's just be honest. What is it for me, God? Does God just leave us hanging there until we die and go to heaven? No. Paul continues and says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. This is from the 2 Corinthians 7, chapter 4, 7 through 12. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show you that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And Paul continues in verse 15, and he says this, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Why do we do all these things for God? We do it because Jesus did everything for us. He did everything. He died for us, and then he rose again. And even as we walk through this life with temptations or struggles or losing jobs or whatever, we can still walk this life and not be in despair. And Jesus says, and Paul says here, I should say, Paul says that we are to put to death ourselves so we can rise with Christ. And then when we do this, when we truly, truly walk this way, when we die to ourselves, to die to our desires, it causes us to have thanksgiving in our hearts, to overflow to the glory of God. By denying ourselves like this, we are rising with Christ. We do this by laying down our sense of self-glorification so he gets the glory. And the good news is the benefit is still for us and for others who do not know him yet. God has a treasure stored up for us. We know about the treasure in heaven, but he has a treasure in this life, right now, for us to live for him. But we have to put ourselves aside. And we have to believe that God is good. He doesn't ask us to die to ourselves and rise with him just because there's some promises over here. He's asking us this because he has the power to change lives. And this is how he does it. Starting with you and me, and then with others. And God is good. He promises these treasures stored up, a treasure beyond that we can ever imagine. And this is why we give the glory to God. This gives us the thankful heart for what we have, not for the things that we desire to have. And that really is where true joy is found. Let's pray. Father God, I'm just in awe of you that you've loved us so much that you did everything for us, including, Father, sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for us. But it didn't end there. He took our sins on that cross, and then 3 days later, he rose again so we can rise with him. And I pray, Father, as we go about our lives, Lord, that we'll just be reminded of that, that we have died with your son on that cross and we rose with him again to live a life to bring glory and honor to you. That we don't try to overcome our sins because it hurts us. The sin that's in our lives hurts us. Of course, you don't want to see us hurt because of our sin. But you ask us to not do the things that we do that are against you because it doesn't bring glory to you. You want to bring that glory through us as you help us overcome the things in our lives. So all the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, can shine through. So others can see that are struggling with life's temptations and life's, as the world is, thinking of what the home run that the world looks at in life. You have a different idea what that looks like, Lord. And I pray that you can help us understand what that looks like as we walk our lives for you, that we can bring you that glory and that praise.